Well, it's almost college graduation time and high school graduation time. But basically, college is like the big thing, right? You can't get a job at all without a college degree. Even if you want to work at McDonald's and take orders, you still have to have a college degree, I think. I don't even know. Probably do. It's crazy stuff. And the only thing I learned coming out of college was how to socially get high and drunk with other people in a social setting.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
I'm still learning.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Stay with me. Stay with me. Come on.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Oh, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I'll admit that to you right off the bat. Off the bat. That's who I am. I cannot hide it any longer. I used to be known as Susan McGinnowitz, didn't fly, couldn't keep the wig on long enough, was tired of shaving my legs, if you know what I'm saying, keeping the landscaping looking good, you know what I'm saying there, just too much trouble. So I became a man again. I'm scaring myself, actually. Ron, calm down. Anyway, how you doing? Welcome to the program. This is a wonderful experience for both of us, actually. You think that it's an experience for you. You have no idea. You have no idea what I go through. The training that I need to do this job. Yeah, it sounds easy, doesn't it? Yeah, I get up in the morning, I brush my legs, and I floss, and then I come into the studio, and I sit here and I talk. And then I go home, and you're saying to yourself, man, that is the easiest job in the world. Like, what are you complaining about? Well, let me tell you something. It's not as easy as it seems. No one can just sit in a chair for almost an hour every day and talk at random about things that make no difference to anybody. That takes talent and guts. And, you know, when I started doing this thing, someone told me, you know, you have to work out, Ron, in order to do a radio show. I said, work out? Why would I have to work out in a gym? I said, because you need to tone your throat. And the best way to tone your throat and to get abs in your throat when you're talking is to work out every day. And I've been doing that for 25 years. I've been going to the gym for 6 hours at a time. Exercising my throat. They actually have, I don't know if you know this, but at Planet Fitness, they actually have throat workout equipment. They do. They're odd looking apparatus, but you work your throat. You work your throat. And now I have like muscles in my throat that I never had before. I can lift a piano with my neck. As a matter of fact, that's my fallback job. If this radio thing ever doesn't work out, I am going to move pianos with my neck. It's a very interesting job. No one does it, but I could do it. So there's a lot of training going on. And think of what I mentally have to go through. Oh, my God. I have to show up at social events and parties sometimes because I'm invited because they think that I'm wonderful and that I'm vivacious. Oh, no. Couldn't be further from the truth. I am not vivacious at all. There's no vibe or vivacious anywhere near me. And I'm not socially acceptable either. So, no, that's just totally wrong. I do get invited to parties and I end up just standing there and standing near the bar. That's all. I do that well. And people come up to me and they say, "You're Ron Van Dam. Oh, my God." And I say, and who are you? And they say, I'm like Susan Rabinowitz. And I say, "Oh, you're Susan Rabinowitz. Oh, my God." They get very confused and they walk away. And you know, I don't blame them. I prefer they walk away at that point. So it's not, you know, "Oh, Ron, tell me a joke. Oh, Ron, you're so funny. Tell me a joke." Tell you a joke? What do you think I am? Do you see me standing, talking about two Jews and a rabbi walking into a bar? Which, by the way, that happens frequently, and nothing ever comes of it. Two Jews sit down with a rabbi, they have a few drinks, and they go home. I don't understand what the joke is. I really don't. I don't get that. I never got that joke. Anyway, I think it's a priest, a rabbi, and a... I don't even know a joke. I have no idea what they... I don't know what the jokes are. Jokes are stupid. You know why jokes are stupid? I'd rather do what I do, just like sit and fester, as opposed to telling a joke. Telling a joke is a setup and a punchline. That's what a joke is. They all are the same. But if that punchline doesn't work, it's the most embarrassing position to be in. A simple joke like, "Why the chicken cross the road to get to the other side?" If nobody laughs at the punchline, where do you go? You can't do another joke because everybody already knows you suck at jokes. So you can't go there. You can't explain the joke. Then you look pathetic. So you end up laughing at your own joke because nobody else is. It's a very embarrassing thing. You actually have to move at that point. You have to pack your belongings and move to another part of the country where they don't know how bad that joke actually is when you tell it. It's very embarrassing. Do you know anybody that tells you jokes and they're never, ever funny? Hey, raise your hand. Look at all the hands go up. We all know somebody like that. That's when we do what I call, it's a dance. It's called the backward shuffle. You start talking to somebody, you don't like their company, their jokes suck, they're saying nothing interesting. All of a sudden, you don't realize it, but you're doing a Michael Jackson moonwalk backwards. You start to put a little distance between you and the subject matter, and then you walk backwards very slowly so that the other person never even realizes that there's more space between you now than there was like 10 seconds ago. That's how slowly you do it, very, very slowly, very eloquently. And then before you know it, within like 2 minutes, you're like 6 miles away and this person doesn't even realize that you're that far away. It's an art. I have mastered that art. And by the way, it's not lying when you tell somebody that you have to go now. It's really, and if someone says it to me, I don't fool around with it. I mean, I know that you don't have to, you didn't have to go anywhere like a minute ago. Now all of a sudden you just remembered, oh, you've got to go somewhere. I know it's because we're not getting along here or that our time together is now finished. We're done for now. So somebody has to make a move. Otherwise, this can go on forever and everybody's feeling awkward about this. So this isn't lying. This isn't lying. It's saving somebody else's feelings. You can't insult people by saying, "You know, we've talked like for a minute. I really don't want to talk to you anymore. You are really getting to be boring. I'm uncomfortable. I do not want to be here. I do not want to talk to you anymore. I really don't even want to be near you. We're done. You disinterest me to the max. I don't even want to smell your face. You are done here with me." You can't say that to somebody. It may insult them somewhat. So what you have to do is come up with this little lie that everybody knows isn't true, but we all accept it. And that lie is, hey, I gotta get going. Oh, you gotta get going, huh? Where do you have to go? Oh, you don't know, do you? You can come up with the lie fast enough, but to back up the lie, you're flustered because there is no place to go. You know it. You're stuck here with me for the rest of your life. Oh, no, I really have to. Stop lying to me, you bastard. It gets very, very ugly. So we just accept these little lies, you know, and it's perfectly fine. Don't be insulted when someone says to you, I really have to go. I got a thing down the street. Oh, you got a thing down the street. What is that thing that's down the street? Don't be insulted by that, because no one can talk to you forever, especially you. Don't be insulted. By the way, I got to go.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me. Waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me. Naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked. I do the work naked. You pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. You know who I am. I don't know who you are. So I think we're kind of even now. We have a guest coming up a little bit later on in the show, and that'll be fun. If you want to donate to this program, I will take your money all the time. And it's kind of easy to do. No money has to... You can use your credit card, is my point. You can use your credit card and donate to the program.
Yeah? Oh. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover. Oh.
You know, I heard about this thing called Airbnb, which I thought was like another nickname for Michael Jordan, but it's not. Apparently, from what I understand with the knowledge that I have about things in the universe, I understand that there was a guy or a couple of guys that said to themselves, you know, let's go into business. And they said, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. Hey, our friends are coming over. What are we going to do? We don't have enough beds in our apartment. Well, let's get some air mattresses and blow them up on the floor, and the people can stay on the floor. And that's what they did. And the people staying on the floor in this guy's apartment said, this is a great idea for business. And what they did was they started bringing strangers into their house to sleep on their air mattresses, and the strangers would pay them money to stay overnight to sleep on the air mattresses, kind of like an air mattress motel in your own house. And these guys said, this could be big. My reaction, if I were there, would have been, you guys are nuts. Who wants to sleep on air mattresses on your floor and pay you money for it? What are you, crazy? Are you high on crack or something? These guys turned it into a multi-million dollar business that I think is just hundreds of millions of dollars. They started franchising this, and I don't know much about it. I've never stayed at one of these things, but apparently it has nothing to do with air mattresses anymore. If you're traveling, rather than stay in a hotel for the hotel prices, you can stay at somebody's house, like a bed and breakfast kind of thing. But they're not licensed, you see. It's just like you saying, do you have a house or an apartment? No, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Do you have a house or an apartment? Okay, fine. What if you just like put an ad in the paper and said, anybody in the area, you want to stay in my house overnight in my bed? It's $50. Can you imagine people saying, sure, I'll come over? I mean, it just, in this day and age of rapes and accostments and burglaries and how is this happening? I don't understand our free society. It's like the Uber thing. I gotta go downtown. I rather than take a taxi or a bus, can somebody pick me up just for the hell of it? I'll pay you some money. Pick me up in your car. I don't know who you are, and I don't need a registered cab or anything. Just come pick me up in your car. Can you believe this is a business? I don't understand how we can be so untrusting of each other and yet so trusting of each other. It's blowing my mind. It's blowing my mind. When I was a youngster, I remember going to camp. I went to a camp when I was a youngster. My parents sent me to a camp for the whole summer because they wanted me to socialize with the rest of the human beings. To which I said, I shall not do so. But they sent me away anyway, and I think my parents just like enjoyed being in the house alone without me. So I went to this camp, and every once in a while, and this was up in Binghamton, New York, which is upstate New York, and once in a while on weekends, me and my friend would take a bus down to New York City and spend a day in New York City. I don't think my parents knew I was doing this. The camp knew, but I don't think the parents did. They wouldn't have liked that. But anyway, people were hitchhiking on the thruway. And I don't remember if it was legal to do so or not. I just knew it was damn stupid. And they had campaigns, don't hitchhike. You're getting into a stranger's car. And once you're in the car, they can hijack you, kidnap you. I mean, they can stab you, kill you, whatever. Take your money. I mean, once you're in somebody's car, you're done. Do not hitchhike, especially if you're a young, attractive woman. Don't hitchhike. And these would be people on the side of the road with their thumbs up. I don't know what the thumb up thing meant. I still don't know what that symbol meant. And then these strangers would pick them up off the side of the road and drive them somewhere and kill them, I guess. That was way back then. Things have gotten a lot worse these days because people are desperate. And yet we have these services where, hey, you want to come over and sleep in my bed tonight? $50.
Okay, sure. That's cheaper than a hotel. Okay, sure.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You can sleep in my house, just you and me, and you pay me $50.
Oh, sure. Okay, fine. That's fine. Can I bring my hot friend?
Sure. That's $100.
Okay, fine. And you're not going to rape me or anything like that?
No. No, I told you. No. No. Trust me, no. Just because there's saliva dripping from my mouth doesn't mean that I'm sick or nasty or perverted.
Okay. As long as you said that.
I mean, I just, the trust is amazing. I'm getting like 200 emails a day of people trying to scam me. I don't trust anybody. Want to stay in my house, in my bed for $50 at night?
Okay, sure.
I don't get this Airbnb stuff. I don't understand how it works or why it even works at all. It's perhaps because I don't understand a lot of things. they're not explained to me is what it is. I was in an Uber once. That's hard to say. I was in an Uber once in Brooklyn, New York. And I was going to the Brooklyn Museum from my hotel, a real hotel, not in somebody's house. And I took an Uber there, and it cost me $30. And there was no meter in this guy's car, obviously. I said, well, how much is this trip? I don't know, $30. Fine, whatever. And I pay him $30. On the way back, there's a cab in front of the museum, and I figure, all right, there's a cab. I'll take the taxi cab, registered New York City taxi cab. Get in a taxi cab. We go back to the hotel, exactly the same distance, exactly the same traffic, around the same time of day, $20. And I said to the cab driver, you know, I took an Uber over here, and it was $30. And the cab driver says, hey, you know, that's your choice. Hey, sounds like the guy that runs the Airbnb, doesn't it? Hey, $50. So I don't understand why Uber is more expensive, and I've been told that you can go to the same place like 10 times, and every time it's going to be a different amount of money with an Uber. I mean, I don't know. I've only been in an Uber once, and I was very uncomfortable in being somebody else's car. I really was. I didn't like that. I don't know why, but I don't like to be in other people's cars that I don't particularly know. Even though the cab driver had absolutely no vowels in his name whatsoever, I still felt like he was vetted by the cab company, you know. But this Uber person, I have no idea. I don't know what's going inside of your pants, you know. I don't know these drivers. There's no identification. There's nothing. I'm in this guy's car. I'm on a date with him. I'm on a date with him going to the Brooklyn Museum. It was too odd. It was too weird.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Frank Gillen is Senior Vice President and Chief Commercial Officer at Neurometrics, and we're talking about the opioid crisis, which is nationwide. And when we're talking about opioid, we're talking about the misuse of painkillers. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it ranges from prescription overdoses to illicit drugs like heroin or fentanyl.
Yeah. Has this been going on forever and we just kind of put a different name on it, or is this a new problem?
I think it really is becoming, it's bubbling up and is becoming a much larger problem. Uh-huh. If you look, you know, year over year, opioid deaths have increased dramatically across the country. And yeah, I think part of the reason that there's been a lot of attention placed to the opioid epidemic.
Yeah. Is a lot of it mixing opioids with other types of drugs, is that a big part of it?
Well, I think, I'll start with saying, chronic pain is real. It affects 1 out of 3 Americans,
yeah.
Everything from back pain to like nerve pain, arthritic pain.
Yeah.
But the challenge is that, you know, there's been an overprescription of opioid medication, and
uh-huh.
we believe, you know, there's alternatives that should be considered.
Uh-huh.
But in the last year, there were 200 million prescriptions written for opioids,
uh-huh.
basically one for every adult in the U.S., and we think that's crazy.
And that leads a lot of people to consider those painkillers that they get to be commodities. And then we get into drug markets and illegalities and all kinds of crazy things, including, of course, the possibility of medical illness and death.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reality is that if you rely on one solution and it's only opioids is the one, you know, one size fits all solution, it has a lot of downside.
Yeah, but most of us feel that is, and I guess doctors feel that is the only possibility. But there are others.
Yeah, in fact, recently the American College of Physicians made an announcement that, you know, they believe the best first line of defense for lower back pain, which is one of the most common forms of chronic pain, is using alternative treatment. And that's ranging everything from physical therapy to acupuncture to yoga, and considering new technologies similar to neurostimulation.
Ah. Neurostimulation would be through electric impulse?
Yeah. We have a technology we call Quell, which uses electrical stimulation to tap into the central nervous system. If you think about it, you know, when you take pills, you're tapping into the bloodstream and tapping into the chemistry, but you've got a whole electrical system, your central nervous system. So that's a new and emerging way to treat pain without drugs.
Interesting. And is that in lieu of back surgery? Or, I mean, if you have chronic pain to that extent, why wouldn't one be in surgery?
You know, there's no one size fits all. So some people may need surgery to get on with their life. And I think partnering with your doctor, your healthcare provider to find the best solution is always the best approach. But other people have had surgery and still have pain and really need some alternatives to help them basically do the basic things in life.
Yeah.
You know, walk, go to work, play with your kids.
Because you can't be on painkillers every day for the rest of your life, really. That would be awful.
It would be pretty bad. And you know, we've heard from thousands of chronic pain sufferers who say they want drug-free alternatives. They don't want to feel sluggish. They don't want the side effects. And they just want to get on with their life. And that's why we believe, you know, drug-free alternatives really are the wave of the future.
Okay, let's get a little controversial now, kind of. What if your doctor says to you, no, we want you on this medication, that's really the only effective thing that's going to work for you? At this point, the patient really, I think, has to start standing up for themselves and seeking out their own alternatives. A lot of people rely on their medical physician to be the godlike answer to everything, and I don't know how healthy that really is sometimes.
Oh, I would totally agree. I think, we all need to take charge of our own health. At the end of the day, it's one of the most important things we have. And with all the innovation, it's impossible for any one person to stay on top of everything. So we highly recommend people research and look into the different alternatives.
Yeah. And then, of course, I mean, again, I'm a cynic, and I'm thinking that a lot of doctors and clinics, they push these medications because that's what the clinic and the medical group is pushing, as far as pharmaceutical sales is concerned. So that's kind of their focus. And then they prey on the patient who is in pain and is looking for any kind of resolve whatsoever because they're in trouble. But I guess what we're saying is put a little bit of a level head on and explore other possibilities.
Yeah. I believe most clinicians are trying to do the right thing. Most doctors are trying to do the right thing, but they're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, it relies on the individual to make sure they're doing and taking charge of their own health.
So where would one find these alternate treatments? Where would one go to seek them out or to explore them?
So obviously the internet is a great place to research alternative therapies, but I'd say do it with a watchful eye. If you're interested in learning more about neurostimulation or using wearable technology like Quell, we have a lot of research on our product that's available at quellrelief.com.
Yeah, and that's a fairly new technology, as you mentioned, but I mean it's becoming quite popular, newly developed. So, and my God, if you're in pain, try it, you know, you know, give it a shot, man. You know, who knows? It could work for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, our technology, Quell, has been on the market a little over a year now, and it's, you know, technology coming out of MIT, and people are finding, you know, in our clinical studies, about 81% of people saw an improvement in their pain levels. Yeah. And two-thirds actually reported a reduction in the use of pain meds, which was a very positive outcome.
Good. Okay. Can this method actually perhaps heal in some situations?
Well, it won't directly heal, but you know, one of the best things you can do if you're suffering from pain is become more active and you know, being able to manage your pain to effect. You can go for a walk, play golf, or whatever is really important.
Well, Frank, I would be more concerned about doing damage to my liver and my kidneys and all the things that process all these pills that I'd be putting into myself on a daily basis for probably the rest of my life. I think that's where the concern would start to be for me.
Yeah, there are long-term downsides to pain meds.
Yeah.
Liver damage is one. Constipation and digestive issues are another. Yeah, there's a laundry list of issues with overuse of medication.
Yes, and I don't like to do laundry, so that's not good for me. All right, so again, where do I go to find out about this Neurometrics? Is there a website?
Yeah, visit our website is quellrelief.com. That's quellrelief.com. Uh-huh. And you can learn all about a 100% drug-free approach to treat pain that's FDA cleared and clinically researched.
Excellent. Thank you for your time today.
Ron, I appreciate it. It's great meeting you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Frank. Yeah. You know, the older you get, the more pain you have. And sometimes younger people like live in pain too. Some people get arthritis very easy and back pain and stuff like that. And you know, we're this pain management with taking pills, that's apparently not a great thing. You know, you pop pills in your body 24/7 for most of your life. Your liver and your kidney are pretty much saying, hey, what are you doing? There have got to be other ways to keep pain management, keep things under control. And as, you know, there's always something being discovered, and some things may work for you, some of them may not. But why not try them rather than popping the pills? I know it's so easy to take the pill, but you have no idea what's going inside of your body. What your organs are filtering out there. They're, you know, they don't want to work that hard. They're like me. They don't want to work that hard. Your organs are just like me. I am your talking organ, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to. All right, we have one more guest that we're going to speak to now. Her name is Papatya Tankut. She's the Vice President of Pharmaceutical Affairs at CVS. Wow, they're handing out some pretty hefty titles over there at CVS. I thought it was just like the guy behind the counter and the pharmacist assistant and the person that stocks the stuff on the shelf. I didn't know that there was actually a Vice President of Pharmacy Affairs. Wow, we have some pharmacy affairs going on. What? Yes, we have affairs of the pharmacy. Do you need a president for that? Yes, and also a vice president. Let's talk to Papatya right now.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great. Great speaking to you today. We're talking to Papatya. Okay, Papatya Tankut is joining us today, and she is Vice President of Pharmacy Affairs for CVS Health. And we're talking, I guess this is one of those National Week things here. This is Women's Lung Cancer Health Week, am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And this always means that we recognize what it is, and we become aware of what it is. So let's start there. We're talking, why is it women specifically lung cancer week?
Well, you know, this is, and thanks for having me. So CVS Health is really proud to be a national presenting sponsor of the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative, which is really focused on uniting women across the country to come together and really kind of fight this stand together around lung cancer, which is the number one killer of cancer in both men and women. And why it's important for this week to recognize that is because, you know, less than 2% of women across the country even have lung cancer on their radar screen. So it's a huge health concern. And if you think about kind of the stats, almost every 8 minutes a woman loses their battle with lung cancer.
Oh, wow. Okay. Obviously, when you become aware of it, then the chances of the diagnosis earlier are better. And that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
It does. And what's interesting about lung cancer is that there's a lot we don't know. I mean, there are many, we know that there are some high-risk factors for lung cancer. So, smoking is one of the leading risk factors for lung cancer, as is secondhand smoke and air pollution and radon. But why we're really proud to be partnered with LungForce is because there's so much more research and awareness that's needed around lung cancer. And so between now through May 27th, CVS Health, CVS Pharmacy stores are participating in an in-store campaign really to try and raise critical funds that are going to help us with that awareness and prevention, additional research that's needed. Mm-hmm. And people can donate as little as $1, $3 or more to the LungForce campaign specifically for that cause.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about not smoking. That's not the only cause of lung cancer, obviously, but it's a major one. What would you say to somebody that has smoked for most of their life because not smoking was not prominent to many people in this generation? Is it always good to stop, or is it ever too late?
It's never too late to stop smoking. And in fact, CVS Health has partnered with LungForce around what we're calling our Be the First campaign, which is kind of the company's five-year, $50 million commitment to helping deliver the first generation of tobacco-free. And you're right, that didn't happen many years ago, but our goal is to try and make communities tobacco-free, and it's never too late to stop smoking. And though we've seen the smoking rates decrease over time, there are still 36.5 million people that smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, 70% want to stop smoking each year. 40% will try this year alone.
Uh-huh.
And there are many ways in which people can stop smoking, and there are tools and resources there to help people smoke. And again, it's never too late to start that effort.
Is it true? I've heard a lot of different rates here, but is it true that when you stop smoking, that within a few weeks it's like you haven't smoked that much? After like a few years, it's like you've probably never really smoked at all. I mean, is it that successful?
I think that when you stop smoking, as years go on not smoking, you're improving your health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every day that you stop smoking is a day that you're going to be even healthy. And so when you think about the programs that are out there, whether it's nicotine replacement therapies along with online counseling programs that the Lung Association offers, those together really help double the chances of quitting and make a difference to a healthier life.
Is lung cancer a hereditary thing? Can it be?
I think that right now, I think the reason for raising these funds is because there is still so much more research to be known about what causes it. Honestly, anyone can get lung cancer.
Yeah.
And there are many risk factors we know causes it, but there are many we don't know that causes it.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily that you're coughing and you're having trouble breathing or respiratory problems. There can still be something going on that don't create those symptoms.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. When we go to our doctors for an annual physical, which everybody should do at every age, they can't check every part of your body. So what do we do in order to be vigilant?
I think as it relates to lung cancer, what we've found is that, and knowing that we're talking about primarily women here, is that, what we know is that only 18% of lung cancer cases among women are diagnosed early, and that's when the disease is most treatable.
Yeah.
So to your point exactly, if you're being checked on a regular basis and we can catch lung cancer early and treat lung cancer early, then the survival rates are almost five times higher than previous times. So the key is to be detected early, get checked out, do your physical, see your doctor, and if you are smoking, to be able to seek help to stop smoking through aids that are available.
All right. Is it detectable through blood tests?
I would probably recommend reaching out to the doctor for specific tests that we would do for lung cancer.
All right, very good. So we're aware now, that's for sure, because we talked about it here. So where do we go for more information?
So for more information, not only around lung cancer, for quit smoking, for online programs and things of that nature, viewers can go to lung.org/CVS.
Great. Papacha, thank you so much for the information today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, kids. That's, man, the more you know medically, the better off you probably are. I mean, the idea is not to scare you about all these horrible things that could happen to you, but it's more so just to keep you involved and aware. There's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on. Nothing. There comes a point where you're bombarded by negative stuff. I get that, but it's good to know things. I'm out of time for today. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.